All right, we now are on a new sugya. We have finished discussing Kesef, Shtar, and Bia, how we learned these things. We remained unresolved in yesterday's sugya if Bia alone affects a Nisuin or not. The Gemara at least is unresolved. And now we go to the next line of the Mishnah. The next line of the Mishnah discusses, well, what is the minimum value of Kesef that affects a marriage? Beis Shammai said it had to be a dinar, and Beis Hillel said it had to be what? A shava pruta, correct? Okay, so now we want to understand what's the logic of Beis Shammai over here. Beis Hillel would seem to be the easier to understand opinion because shava pruta, as long as there's some amount of money, that's a pruta, at least accomplishes something, has some minimal value. Why does Beis Shammai, which we always seem to see he's the stricter opinion, and here he's the stricter opinion. Pruta is not enough. You have to have already a whole dinar. Why do you need so much more? That's going to be a brief discussion over here, and the Gemara is going to give two opinions on the matter. So that's the words of the Mishnah. Bekesef, what's kesef? Beishamei omrim bedinor. He says she can be acquired with a dinar. Gemara asks, my tamaihu de beishamei. What is the reason that they require a dinar for a kiddushin? Again, as the note said, why does the Gemara ask Beis Hillel? It's understandable that Beis Hillel maintained that kiddushin through money requires at least a pruta, since this coin represents the minimal unit of monetary worth. Only a value equaling this sum can rightly be called money. The Gemara therefore questions only why Beis Shammai demands that a coin of a higher denomination be used. That's the logical question. Rav Zeira gives us his opinion. Amar Rav Zeira. Rav Zeira says it really has to do with the recipient's focal frame of mind. Shekein Isha Matperes Alatzma. A woman is very particular regarding herself. And what is she so particular about? Ve'ein miskadeshes mipochos midinar. She will not consent to have a kiddusha with somebody if he gives her less than a dinar. In other words, you think I'm that cheap? All I'm worth is a little pruta? At least give me something worth a dinar. That's a little bit more substantial. And to show you what you value in terms of our relationship. So that's the svara of Rav Zeira. Abai is going to ask a question on that svara. Because what you're really saying is, you know, legal tender isn't enough. So he says the following question. Amar le Abaye. Abaye says that this, if you go like this opinion of Zera, you're saying women are particular, so now you've opened up a Pandora's box. Why? Because now different women can have different particularities. Right? What if, you're going to deal with in a moment, a very wealthy woman. A very wealthy woman, guess what? A dinar isn't even worth much to her either. So now you've opened up the floodgates. Beis Hillel says, listen, a pruta, that's the way it is. That's the normal. We don't care what the woman thinks. So everything's fine according to Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai says, well, you know, every woman wants at least to get a dinar. Well, now the Gemara says, well, now you've opened up all problems. Elamayat is going to come out. According to you, are we going to come to the following conclusion? Rabbi Yanai had daughters, and Rabbi Yanai was wealthy. So look at what they wanted for Kiddushin. The captain of Sheo, they were very particular upon themselves because of their wealthy status. The lo mekache bepachas mitarkava de dinri. They wouldn't be allow a kiddushin with them unless there were 3 kavim of gold dinars. That's a lot of money. I don't know how much, but it's a lot of money. So now it's going to come out that we're going to say the same thing. So hachinami. That's the question. So he says, "Hachinami di pashta yada vekibla chadzusa ve'acher." Is it also so that if one of these women, one of these daughters of Rav Yanai, would stretch her hand out and accept a single zuz, in other words, 1 dinar from someone else, would you say Hachinami delo havi kiddushin, would you say that this is not a kiddushin? You're gonna, if one of these wealthy daughters of Yanai would stretch her hand out and say, here, just give me a dinar. Are you going to tell me that that's not a good kiddushin? Let's take a look at the notes here. Abai understands Rav Zera to mean that a woman can never become betrothed through less than a dinar, even if she willingly accepts a lesser amount. That was his assumption of what Rav Zera meant. Okay, in other words, Rav Zera says, because women are particular, he says, you know, that's a general rule. Now that would mean even if a woman, a particular woman would want less, too bad. That's what he thought. He thought Rav Zera said. Why? Because he says that is, since women will generally accept no less than a dinar, they shall maintain that this amount becomes the standard definition of monetary value for kiddushin. Anything less than a dinar is simply not called money with reference to these laws. That's what Abaye thought Rav Zera meant. Because if women are going to be particular, that becomes the standard. And even if a woman particular would not be particular, it's too bad. The monetary, standard or other words, has been raised. So now even if a woman's willing to pay less, it wouldn't help. So therefore, Rabbi questions that if this reason is correct, it should follow that the standard definition of value changes with respect to Yanai's daughters. Since they generally insist upon at least several gold dinars for kiddushin, it should be the case that anything less than this is simply not considered money in reference to their kiddushin. Abai thus argues that Rav Zera's logic leads to an unreasonable conclusion. According to Beis Shammai, a daughter of Yanai would be unable to become betrothed with the standard gift of a dinar, even if she would so wish. All right, which would seem unreasonable, but the assumption in the question was, that you, now that you've said the dinar is such, because women will not accept less, you've now said that that is now the rate of exchange. That's what I wanted. The rate of currency has been elevated for marriage. And you can go, even a lady will take less. It doesn't matter. That's not considered enough. Just like according to Beis Hillel, if you take less than a pruta, woman says, I'll be willing to take give me less fruit. Well, less fruit just isn't money. Gotta be married with something that's called money. I don't care, just give me a half a piece of paper. No, it's not worth money. So according to Beis Shammai, the way Rav Zera is explaining it, that you have to, women won't accept less, then anything less is just not called currency. And now it become, now it will fluctuate based on what women will take. And now if you're wealthy, wealthy won't take less than a large amount, then even a dinar won't help. Frankly, I don't understand what the question is, so let's say yeah, so. I don't understand the question. You know, say, okay, so maybe that's so, won't be so bad. Wealthy women talk to women. Even women's willing to take less. But instead, Rav Zera answers the following. He says, no, that's not what I meant. Omar Le, he says the following. What I meant to say is, certainly I would make an exception by Poshta Yoda. If a woman stretches out her hands, they keep on accepts less than a dinar. Lo kamin, I never said my law. In other words, certainly Beis Shammai would agree. If a woman is willing to take less, there's no problem with that. I was just saying that's the standard position. In like this. According to Beis Hillel, when you go down to a pruta, we can't go any lower than a pruta. So Beis Hillel is saying, listen, you have to have something that's called money. The lowest denomination of money is called a pruta. Even a woman's willing to take less, it doesn't matter. You don't have enough currency to affect a transaction. But when I said the explanation for Beis Shammai was that women are not willing to take less, that's a general rule. In other words, if we don't know what's on this woman's mind, as we'll see shortly, then we have to assume she wouldn't accept it. And it wouldn't be good. But if a woman, bedavka, tells you, I'm willing to take less than a dinar. So what is she saying? She's saying, I'm not particular. And if she's saying not particular, so less than a dinar, but more than a pruta, it's still currency. Abai mistakenly thought Rav Zera said, you need to have a dinar because a woman are particular, and that becomes the currency now. That you can't go less than that. And Rav Zera says, I never meant that. I'm saying, generally speaking, the assumption is a woman will not take less than that, so we will assume that's not what she wants. But if she will explicitly tell me that she's willing to take less, Well, then for her, of course, it's okay. And therefore, the wealthy women, if they're willing to take less than that large amount, would also work. When did I say my words? When did I say the explanation of Beis Hillel Shammai is you have to have a dinar because women won't accept less? It's when you're not sure what the woman's position is of regard this woman of what she wants. Ki kamina. When did I say that it has to be a dinar? When? The cut shabalayla. When she's betrothed at night and she's not able to see that she received less than a dinar. In other words, we assume every girl expects a dinar. So if you come at night and you give her less than a dinar, she doesn't know she's getting less than a dinar. We'll assume that's not a good kiddush because we'll assume she doesn't want it. She hasn't told us otherwise. That's when I said it has to be a dinar. Or another example, Inami, or another case, Deshav Yeshich. She appointed an agent to accept the Kiddushin. The agent accepted less than a dinar, and the woman doesn't know how much was being given, and the agent wasn't told any instructions to accept or reject. Just go and take it. So again, the woman hasn't seen it. We'll assume she doesn't want it, and we'll assume it's not a good Kiddushin. Now look at 16. The Gemara speaks of a case which he did not specify to the agent the exact amount that she was willing to accept. Alright, now, a similar principle would indeed apply to the Kiddushin of a woman from Rabbi Yannai's family. How would we do that? If such a woman would appoint an agent for Kiddushin without specifying the minimum amount of money he should accept, the agent would need to receive at least 3 kav of gold dinars for good to take effect. If, however, she accepted Kiddushin herself for less than amount, then it would affect. So that's what Rav Zeira explains. Rav Zeira is saying, I say it has to be a dinar according to Beis Shammai, because that's what women expect. And therefore, if we're in a situation where the woman doesn't know what she's getting, if you give her less than that, it's not acceptable, because we can assume she doesn't want it. And therefore, the rich women of Rabbi Yannai's daughters, we would assume they want a large amount, and if they don't see what they're getting, we'll assume it's not good because they wanted a large amount. However, certainly if a woman expressly says she's willing to take less than the dinar, or the rich women were less than the large amount, certainly they're entitled to do that. We haven't said that has become the minimum currency, and therefore would be a kiddushin. Yes, now that I explained it clearly.
I thought the amount of the payment was really just, the concept was just to seal the transaction.
Symbolic.
It's not, there's nothing symbolic here.
Not really,
what do you mean symbolic? Really,
well, it's not meant to support her or anything like that.
It's called a kinyan. What's any kinyan? What's any kinyan called?
It's a transaction, man.
Okay, it has to be affected by a legal activity that has happened. So, you know, here, Tony, get a piece of land based on this thing. Well, that tishbar is worthless, or worth less than a pruta. So we can't affect you can't affect anything with something that's not worth anything. Right?
Yeah,
even in Canadian law, right? You say we now hereby affect the sale based on giving of $1. Right? You have to give something worth value. It's not you're buying it with it, it's not symbolic. It's a halachic transaction that can only occur if you have actual money. Right? We don't do symbolic things, something that's not worth anything. You want to make a chalipin. You can't make even a chalipin with just something that's like worthless. So if there's not something of any kind of value, then there's no transaction. That's the rules of transactions.
Oh, but if it's valid in many cases, it seems that if you could give like 10 cents or 5 cents or something, so that's valid. So where do we get to the concept now that, oh, but it's not enough for me? It's
well, because in marriage, you're not just buying a piece of land. You are dealing with a woman's feelings. And a woman's feelings are going to say, even to make the transaction, I don't want something worth a penny. You know, that means you don't think I'm worth anything.
That's derech eretz, not halacha.
Yeah, but the derech eretz becomes the halacha here. When you want to marry your wife, you don't start off by saying, and you know, I love you so much, I gave you a napkin to marry you. You know, so I gave you a dollar. That's all? A dollar? Now, if she's willing to take less, then that's okay. But part of the transaction is, it's not like you're buying a piece of land. This woman is giving her life over to you. She's changing her life for you. So the transaction has to be upped a bit. That's the point of Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel says, we don't care about it. As long as it fits the legal transaction, it's all you need. Good? Yes?
The agent from Rabbi Yamai's family, he has to know, obviously, that this family expects a gold, cut of gold garner.
Well, if she didn't specify, right, then he should know that she would accept less. Then he has to assume they want more.
Yeah. So when he goes out, he's got to know what
he knows what the family Yana is accustomed to.
That's the point.
So that he can't, but only if she would say, "I'm willing to take less," then less is okay. So Reb Zera agrees at the end of the day, less is okay. What Beis Shammai is saying is the standard assumption. Yeah. Right, that's the standard position. The default position is a dinar. Unless the woman specifies less, then she has changed the default, and then that's acceptable. This is Reb Zera's explanation for why we need, according to Beis Shammai, a greater amount. Reb Yosef is going to give a whole different reason. It has nothing to do with women's feelings. Nothing to do at all. It has to do with biblical translation of the text. That's all. It's strictly, let's look at the text. What's the text telling us? What kind of text are we dealing with? Reb Yosef says, Tamayhu de Beis Shammai, the reason of Beis Shammai is Kidder Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Asi. It'll be based on a statement of Rav Yehuda in the name of Rav Asi. What does he say? Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Asi. Rav Asi says, very brief line, it's going to be a lot of explanation. When we see the word kesef written in the Torah, well, when you look in the Bible and it says the word kesef, what does the word kesef mean when it's written in the Bible? What kind of silver are we dealing with? You know, biblical silver. What is biblical silver?
Currency.
But it has to be an amount. What's the amount of biblical
kesef
currency?
In general terms.
When we talk about kesef coins, you know, 5 shekel kesef coins, what is the weight? What is the value of silver in that coins? We have to know there is a certain amount of value that Torah is talking about. I mean, what did they do in Moshe's day? Well, any coin. No, it was a specific coinage. What was the specific coinage? The Torah has to have a specific value system over here. So he says, "Kol kesef omer b'Torah." Anytime you have the word kesef mentioned in the Torah, it's referring to kesef tsuri, which they call in English Tyrian currency. What does that mean? So now we got to explain. Rav Asi sets forth that when the word kesef appears in Scripture, the reference is not simply to money in the broadest sense. Okay, that does not accept that. Yeah. But to actual silver coinage or in its equivalent form. That is, according to Rav Asi, the scriptural word kesef refers to Tyrian currency, a currency comprised solely of pure silver coins. Kesef in the Torah means pure silver coins, as opposed to what they call provincial currency. In other words, when you're taking something mined out of the mine, right, and it's pure silver, and they boiled it to whatever they did to make pure silver, a pure silver coin, that's universal value, because it's not been diluted. When we talk about provincial,
it's not pure.
No, this is provincial. Provincial is made from an alloy of 7 points copper and 1 point silver. So that's it's only 1/8 the value. Thus, when Scripture uses the word kesef in conjunction with a given denomination, let's say shekels of kesef, whatever, it alludes to Tyrian coinage of that denomination, in this case, Tyrian shekels, pure silver. When the Torah simply writes kesef without alluding to a specific denomination, the reference is to a Tyrian coin of at least a ma'a. A ma'a was a certain size, and that's going to be the dinar that we're talking about. So now, that is when the Torah says kesef, that's what it means. Now, there could be others who disagree with him, but this is his opinion. However, that's what it's a biblically described amount. However, v'shel divrehem, but when we're dealing with rabbinic laws, and when the rabbis are starting to talk about kesef, then we're talking about kesef medina, then we're talking about provincial currency. So now what do we have? Now when the Torah, when we talk about kiddushin, how did we learn that money works? Because we learned kicha from Stei Ephron, right? Kicha, it says kicha, kiish, kiikach, ish. It says that Avram took the field, took the money, gave the money. So whatever kesef was in Avram's time, whatever, that's the biblical coinage. So therefore it's gotta be a silver dinar, not a copper pruta, which is what kiddushin, according to Beis Hillel, can be much less. Now, again, look at 19. Coins of provincial currency were minted from a silver alloy and were traded at 1/8 of the value of their Turinian equivalents. All right? A provincial sella was worth 1/8 of a Tyrian sella. Whatever a sella was. In other words, there was this different sized coins. A sella is one size. A dinar is another size. Everything's a different size. Now, if it's a Tyrrhenian coin, it's a pure silver coin. If it's a, what do you call it, a provincial coin, well, it's been mixed 7/8 copper and only keeping 1/8. So depending on whatever the amount is, that's what we have over here. So when we're talking about a dinar, for example, a dinar is the biblical dinar would be a complete dinar of complete silver, while the provincial one is 1/8. Now, in point 20, already said, the whole learning of Kiddushin came from Kicha Kicha, where it talked about Kesef. So now, they'll sum it up. In sum, Rav Yosef's explanation, Beis Shammai, says as follows. Since scripture mentions Kesef in reference to Kiddushin, it is evident that a silver coin is needed, a complete silver coin. Further, since scripture disqualifies the copper pruta for used in Kiddushin, because it only talked about the biblical coin, Beis Shammai infer that a coin of substantial value is required. Because obviously, any amount, whatever the amount is of kesef, even though the Torah only said kesef, we don't know how much kesef, but it has to be kesef of pure silver. So what's going to be the smallest pure silver coin is a dinar. A dinar is the smallest pure silver Tyrrhenian coinage. So that has to be the least one. Hence, Beis Shammai use of a dinar, a silver coin of significant value. A dinar is significant. That's pure silver. While a pruta is much less than that. That's already got copper. So it's nothing personal, nothing to do with women. It's this biblical type of thing, which is required. We're gonna stop here. When we pick it up, the sugya continues, but all they're gonna do is they're gonna give you all kinds of questions on this that seem to imply that biblical sources do not require the full amount of pure silver. But they're gonna ask questions on the second opinion. But right now, these are the two opinions. Either we say it has to be a dinar because a woman won't take less, and therefore it's up to the woman of what she says. Very interesting. What would be the difference now? According to the first opinion, Rav Zeira, if a woman's willing to take less than a dinar, can she?
Yes.
Yes. She can. She can, absolutely, because it's only for the woman's honor. But according to the second opinion, can a woman take less than a dinar?
No.
Because it's not up to her. This is the amount, the minimum amount the Torah requires. So that becomes a big difference if you can be married with less than, according to Beis Shammai. Although we don't hold like Beis Shammai, so it won't make a difference. But you see that everybody's so worried to understand Beis Shammai's correct opinion.